Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the June issue, where we'll cover healthy sleep, diet and exercise, complementary and alternative treatments, sports and recreation, and developing social skills. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight, Positive Qualities of ADHD, and with us in our virtual studio is Lori Dupar. We're going to get into things in a second. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, June the 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2015. Just a few announcements. Again, Dr. Barkley continues to ask me to promote the ADHDfund.com website, which is a crowdsourcing site to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. Also, it's time to start looking at your calendars and planning for the Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder Conference. This year being held November the 2nd through the 14th in Nolens, Louisiana. I always really like to make a plug. You can get a lot of great information on the Internet. We'd like to think that we provide some great content, as we will tonight. And you can get much of the content at the conferences, but there's really nothing like being there with your tribe and hanging out. And more to me is learned in the hallways and the bookstore and stuff like that by just talking to some peers. It's just absolutely amazing. So if you've ever thought about it, I highly encourage you to go. And another big announcement, and we're gonna bring Lori in on this. Her I think this is the fifth year of her Succeed with ADHD Telesummit, which is coming up in July from the 13th to the 17th. So, Lori, you want to tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. This is our fifth year of hosting the Succeed with ADHD Telesummit. And for a whole week, four guests each day that are going to be coming on and sharing with you sort of their expertise in different areas about ADHD, helping you learn more about your ADHD, and also some really specific strategies and tips that you can take away. So, we have 20 guests lined up for this particular year, and people can register by going to the Succeed with ADHD Telesummit.com website and check the calendar to see who is talking when, and Jeff is one of our featured guests, so that's exciting. Yep. And if you can't make it to the calls, we also have some options for people if you want to get the recording. So I'm very excited about it this year. Some great speakers we have coming on.
And you had some great speakers this year and some great speakers last year. I know you got Ari Tuchman, Rob Tedisco,
yes.
Elaine Taylor-Kloss, Jody Sleeper-Triplett, Leslie Josel, Rick Green, yourself,
yes.
Alan Brown. These are all, many of them, frequent
right.
flyers on Attention
yeah.
Talk Radio. So
I
can say that you've got some really, really good content. And, it's for that entire week. And go check
yes.
it out, because if you can't be there for the whole time, there are some options for you to get the recordings so you can listen to them later and even throughout the year. So it's
yeah.
real exciting. It's right around the corner. So everybody go
yeah.
check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything, you know, it's everything for everyone, whether you're an adult or a parent or you're a student or a professional. We have some I always make sure to have as many topics for everyone. So there's some really interesting topics and conversation pieces that I know are going to happen during that week. So I invite everyone.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, let's to get into that comment real quickly. Lori is a senior certified ADHD coach and a trained psychiatric nurse practitioner. She mentors emerging ADHD coaches to help them build successful practices so they can profit in the businesses that they love. She currently is collaborating with other ADHD experts to publish her fifth book in the as number one Amazon ADHD awareness book project series, Wacky Ways to Succeed with ADHD, and invites you to get wacky and learn more about that and you can purchase, I presume, some of the other books that you've done in the past at your website at coachingforadhd.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so this is one of the fun parts about doing what I do is you get to interview great, incredibly gifted ADHD experts, but also the plethora of ideas that kind of come about. And this is one that you reached out to me on, the positive qualities of ADHD, and I never looked at it this particular way, and since this show loves to pay attention to attention, tell us about just how you got interested in the positive qualities of ADHD and then begin to take a look at some of them.
Yeah. It's a great question, Jeff. My real interest in looking at the positive qualities of ADHD, I'm not even sure which came first, my always looking on the positive side of things or being a bit of Pollyanna myself, or that truly it was probably when I noticed that when my son was diagnosed, my youngest son, who really sort of introduced me truly, I think, to the world of ADHD, when he was diagnosed, I noticed there's such a emphasis and focus on what he couldn't do. And I looked at this young man of mine, and I thought, he has so many amazing talents and so many amazing gifts. And it just occurred to me that there was a true imbalance. And I also felt that if there wasn't an opportunity to bring in and focus on some of the positive qualities that he had, that his self-esteem would be really affected by that. It might impact, you know, really him becoming an adult, what his confidence in himself. So it was really then that I started to look at some of these, what we consider challenges of ADHD, but also from sort of, it could be sort of just a different angle or even the flip side of the coin, literally, of what was really a strength in that. And it may not be when people are students, because oftentimes someone being very persistent or being a bit argumentative or being a bit black and white with their thinking could be very challenging to a parent with a child with ADHD. But I'll tell you what, they make incredible lawyers. Incredible.
Yep.
Right? And we want those people that know the difference between right and wrong when we're adults and perhaps they're working in certain professions. So that was really what inspired me was not only my own son and looking at him and realizing that there was more to him than just his ADHD challenges, but also, of course, that got me into working with a lot of individuals and, you know, time after time talking with them, whether it be an adult or whether it be a parent of a student, who when I asked them, so what do you do really well, I could just see this stumped look in their face, like they weren't really sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Lori, can I just insert here? I have a metaphor that I like to use a lot to kind of really illustrate this to a degree, and that is people talk about ADHD and the distractibility of it. And a second ago, you said, like, kind of flip side of the coin. To me, the opposite side of distractibility is curiosity. And so the way I kind of pitch it is imagine, because it's easy to picture, is you got some ADHD kid sitting in, you know, math class or whatever, and the teacher's talking and kind of droning on, and all of a sudden he notices a butterfly or something kind of going outside, outside, period. And a teacher would look at that situation and say he's distracted, let's say, by the butterfly. And I would almost say, well, I'm not so sure he's distracted. Maybe he's just more curious about the butterfly because it happens to be more interesting than the teacher talking. And my point here really is, is I found a lot of those with ADHD be very, very, very curious. And the way you would pay attention to that particular situation depends on the perspective. Again, the teacher would say he's distracted, but I think, and I'm just using this as an example as maybe how you look the other way, is at the same time, you can flip it around the other side and say, really, there's a lot of curiosity here.
Yeah. Well, and exactly, right? And we know that people with ADHD get distracted, and that can sometimes be problematic for them, right? It can be. We're not denying that by any means. And I think you're exactly right. It is also about the curiosity. And what comes from curiosity, Jeff, is the other piece. I mean, it comes with the many ideas, right? And that also happens with people with ADHD. But from those many ideas and that curiosity comes amazing solutions, amazing problem-solving ability, amazing inventions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, I said before, I really need to go out and get the research on it, but I had heard in 08 there was a study done on those with dyslexia, and supposedly, it was like 44% of billionaires had dyslexia, and the notion is they had to do it a little bit differently in order to kind of get by. And again, we're talking about ADHD here, but when you look at those people, it can manifest in a positive way too. So when you look at some of the positive qualities, can you talk about some of them that you notice?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have an e-book that I did, and people can go to my website at coachingforadhd.com and download it. It's actually called Brain Surfing and 31 Other Awesome Qualities of ADHD. And the brain surfing piece, just sort of to say what, because people are like, what does that mean? But it's sort of like what we just talked about. There's the quality that a lot of people with ADHD have of really sort of going from one thought to the next, sort of brain, you know, surfing. Mm-hmm. I live out here in California, so, you know, people are surfing, they're going from one wave to the next. And where that takes them, it's curiosity, it solves a lot of problems, so that's what I'm talking about with brain surfing, the opportunities and the thoughts and the inventions and problem solving that goes on with that. Another absolutely a positive quality is, there's no doubt about it, is the creativity. High on the list of anybody who has ADHD. That ability to think outside of the box, that's a huge asset with your working for especially organizations that are forming today. We need to know how to solve problems. We need to know how to think outside the box of the solutions that are there, right? Those are huge, amazing qualities. In fact,
absolutely,
people are paid really, really well to be able to do just those things. Trying to think of some other...
if you don't mind, I need to run to commercial break and give you a chance to kind of mull some of that sort of and collect your thoughts. Again, everybody, to learn more about Lori, go to coachingforadhd.com. And Lori, again, it's a longer URL. What's the URL for the summit coming up?
The summit coming up, succeed with ADHDtelesummit.com.
Well, that will be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Lori DePauw having a conversation about positive ADHD qualities. And before the break, Lori was talking about creativity, and I can't help but insert 2 things. I think Ned Hollowell had a great quote one time that really captures it, and that's creativity is impulsivity gone right. You really can't be creative unless you're impulsively kind of making connections between things that might not necessarily be associated. And I also want to kind of highlight, when we talk about creativity, we think about arts and type of stuff, but it's also, I like the link between that and the out-of-box thing, because David Needleman, who was the founder of JetBlue, has ADD and is very outspoken about it, is one who came up with the paperless reservation system, just to kind of point to some examples of some of that. That's really kind of how it can manifest in some real positive ways.
Yeah. And, you know, we think about really, Jeff, sort of the core, you know, challenges that people have with ADHD, and we talked about, you know, distractibility and how that distractibility really can be also seen as an amazing sense of curiosity, and that curiosity leads to ideas and things like that.
Yep.
And even the qualities such as impulsivity, right? Isn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, because people who tend to be more impulsive are also people, which is characteristic of people with ADHD, risk takers. And that sounds like a bad thing to people, but consider that, right? Consider people like Mr. Needleman, who
yep.
took the risk, who took the
yep.
chance to try something that nobody else had done and was very successful at it. In fact, one of the stories that I have in the ebook that's on my website is I'm convinced that people like Christopher Columbus must have had ADHD, because who else would get in a boat, sail the ocean blue, and really not know
yep.
where things were, where they were going to find, or if they're going to fall off the end of the earth? I mean, that's impulsivity gone right.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I can't remember. There was a metaphor a long time ago about, and I don't know if it's a true story, about there were two people were in the Arctic, and one of them, they were trying to go somewhere, and it was like how the impulsive risk taker just went and did it and tried to figure it out along the way, and the one that was planning too much actually waited too long and kind of got in a really tough situation because the weather had kind of come in. So I help but blurt that out. But
you
want to say something else?
I was going to say it's so true, right? It can be seen in certain situations as being really problematic, right? In other situations, it's an asset to folks, like you said. I mean, if you're ever happen to be traveling in the North Pole and it's better to get on your feet and get moving than to stand still. Emergency room doctors, I work with so many, I'm sure you do too, so many people who actually capitalize, their part of their profession is being able to react impulsively, meaning a quick manner, right, without really thinking about it. Emergency room doctors, emergency medical technicians, firefighters, police, I mean, that ability to step into something, not necessarily consider the risk to themselves, for instance, and to take charge of a situation. Again, ADHD, you know, gone right with the impulsivity.
Absolutely.
The other core, like I said, the other sort of core, we talked about distractibility, impulsivity, is the hyperactivity. And whether that's hyperactivity physically or in, verbally, my goodness gracious, again, right, we just had Michael Phelps, I'm sure, and definitely said he knows he's ADHD. My guess, all that hyperactivity and restlessness, you put that in a pool, you've got how many gold medals did he win, right?
nine, I think.
It goes without saying, yeah.
Yep.
Same is true for someone who is a fast talker or a fast thinker, that hyperactive brain. You put a mouth to it, and you've got some of our best comedians, some of our best talk show hosts, some of our best, what other jobs that do the hyperactivity. Absolutely gone right. It may be annoying when someone's growing up, and it may not necessarily be welcome in every single walk of life, or every single moment in life. But you can absolutely look at these qualities and say, what is it what's the positive in this? I'm thinking about my nephew. That was another reason that I started looking at these positive qualities when he was growing up, and he was very impulsive and very hyperactive. He had that combined type of ADHD, and he was so enthusiastic, like for a party, and to the point where he would just get, just that thrill, right? My sister would jokingly say that she was going to rent him out when he was growing up, because he was so excited. But again, that's that impulsivity, that spontaneity, that joy that is so infectious.
It can be very motivational in the right situation from that.
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing better than having at a party or at an event somebody that can sort of talk to anyone. to fill in the blanks. That's a lot of students who have that hyperactivity or hyperverbal get really great points. Or, I mean, if you consider that classroom interaction is part of the grade, that goes towards that. They may have to figure out when that works and when that doesn't, but that ability to speak their thoughts in the right setting is a huge asset for them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's go to another break. And we come back, I want to just kind of talk about what we're doing, but I want to kind of turn a little bit just in the notion of self-regulation and kind of highlight a few other ways of looking at that. Before we go, real quick, again, learn more about Lori at coachingforadhd.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Lori, I wanted to kind of just take a look at what we're talking about from the view of Dr. Barclay's executive function deficit disorder construct, which really holds out that ADHD is an executive functioning issue, most of which he defines as self-regulation and the ability to regulate yourself. And he talks about that, you know, you have to regulate your attention and you have to be able to regulate your emotions. And we begin to look at that over coaching. I've come to learn is those with ADHD, many times there's things that they really have a hard time engaging their attention in. And other times, their issue is not engaging their attention, it's actually stopping. It's kind of much like an alcoholic. Their issue is not drinking, it's stopping. And you've got, you know, kids with ADHD playing computer games. I mean, they don't have a problem getting engaged. It's actually kind of stopping at that point in time. And I always like kind of looking at it that way. And we, at the top of the show, we started talking about how everybody's looking at the negativity. But to me, there's always the opposite side of the coin. So those with ADHD might manifest with frustration and anger, but the other side of it is a passion many times that they have. And that passion, there's so many of those that I've coached that are really good because they'll stand for a cause or they'll stand for an underdog and really kind of hold that up. Have you noticed that in your work with those with ADHD?
Oh gosh, yeah, right? Absolutely. I love how you're looking at this emotional piece that can be seen, or can be, again, problematic in some situations as a positive quality in others, that passion that they have, and then you combine that with what we call, you know, black and white thinking, and what you have is you have a person who is willing to literally lay down their life for something that they believe in. I mean, that's an admirable quality. These are the people that we want defending our country.
Yep.
These are the people that we want that are going to make the changes, you know, the changes in the world. So, yeah, I actually have seen that. It's sort of it's an interesting quality that I see a lot, and it's also of interest to me. This, I sort of look at it like a loyalty, but like you said, really willing to to sacrifice themselves. And I say that, the specific example that comes to mind is I typically work with students, or that's one of the populations that I work with, and I've heard many, many students, if they either feel that it doesn't have to be that they've been disrespected by a teacher, but the teacher's disrespecting someone in the classroom,
they
will literally, you know, fail the class in order to prove that the teacher's not a good teacher.
Yep.
Every other avenue has failed, and that hasn't improved. that's, in a way, that's admirable. I mean, it,
absolutely,
you know, failing a class has its own consequences, and they might not be thinking about that. But their willingness to do that is absolutely remarable. Yeah,
I don't think we have any statistics on it, but I've talked to a lot of people, and we are going to be doing a show pretty soon about ADHD in the military. But a lot of people I've talked to feel that there's a disproportionate number of people in the Marines that have ADHD. So you talk about standing for a cause and being impulsive and kind of going out there. You can see how that really kind of comes together. Another area that when I look at this is, those with ADHD, they can really have a passion, and particularly are caregivers and helping other people. And many times I find they can do for others what they can't do for themselves. Have you noticed that in your...
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, Jeff. I don't know if I've ever thought about it in that particular way, but definitely as you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, that passion and compassion is a really high quality. The flip side of sort of that emotionality or that regulation,
yep,
that... it could be problematic, is this really deep sense of caring and ability to care for others. And oftentimes, unfortunately, they may not even take care of themselves, but they are absolutely able to take care, wanting to, and putting themselves energy behind taking care of other people. There's some challenges with that if we're not taking care of ourselves along with that. But again, admirable quality. And those are the people that are, I look at it, like really changing the world, because they're not thinking of themselves. They're
absolutely
thinking about what the other person needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the same respect that we talked about curiosity, but there are some that I find that when they find an area or a niche that they're like, their issue is not learning or doing research. Their issue is stopping to the point in time that they almost kind of can't stop. I mean, you've heard of those adults that will sit down at a computer and get on the Internet at 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden it's 4 o'clock in the morning. They don't know where the time passed. But I've actually worked with some people that were in the research field at some universities, and they were so enthralled with their work. I mean, again, their problem wasn't going to work. It was actually kind of coming home, because they just got glued to whatever it was, which is a real positive quality, particularly in an area of research and trying to find some things that would, you know, change medicine or change the world.
Yeah. Well, and I think in any area that you have a high interest in, we call that course with ADHD sort of a hyper focus, right? Where and it's not necessarily it's again problematic maybe if it's on video games or computer or, you know, that sort of thing. But having a hyper-focus on things, and I know this because of my own, you know, experience with family members. I have a son who is an incredible golfer, and I didn't really understand what the deal was for him. But there's an incredible sense of hyper-focus that needs to be had, and that in order to be really excel at that particular sport, which he does on a professional level. And I never really thought about that. So that's, again, hyper-focus gone right. Boy, I tell you, I want an employee who is hyper-focused on what they're really good at to do the best job they can for me. I think in the past we might have called that with some people's sort of, workaholics or something. But having a passion and making a positive difference and using that really in a constructive and way like that, that's marvelous. Absolutely marvelous, right?
To do that.
And even people that, let's just face it, people that focus on video games, I mean, there's some, I'm not a video game player, but I know that how else are those games going to get either tested or developed which, of course, then could go into other sort of technology, we both know that, unless someone is, that's really their high area of interest, and that's what they focus on, and that's what jives it for them.
You know, and I can't help but stop and do this because, you know, as a coach, I'm always trying to pay attention to what the person's paying attention to, and this show is so much about paying attention to attention. And when I'm listening to kids play video games, everybody just generically kind of looks at it, but there's been multiple times where I've wanted to understand the games that the kids played. And, you know, Lori, in two specific situations, I'll tell this one story. This kid was playing, like, Halo, Call of Duty, and I know he liked Crew, and he liked fishing. And there was something else that he liked. But anyway, everything had kind of this thing to it. I'm like, what do these things all have in common? It was funny because I was talking with him one day. Oh, he liked jazz music, too. So we have in crew and jazz, there's lots of patterns, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he started playing the video games. I began to talk to him and began to realize is that what he really paid attention to was in order to do well in those games, you have to study human behavior, because you're playing against an opponent, and you have to kind of think, well, where's this guy going to hide? Or where should I hide where we won't find him? And as we began to talk about that, he began to realize that it was drawn to. And the fishing thing always, it just didn't make sense to me. I couldn't fit. Then one day he was talking about being, wanting to be a marine biologist, and all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. He didn't like to fish. He likes to watch the study the behavior of the different kinds of fish, because you can't catch a fish unless you understand the behavior. And it was funny, because when I mirrored that back to him, you could hear the aha on the other side of the phone that he that I was in. And so I'm saying this because in this particular situation, he could, and by the way, in crew and jazz, there's rhythms and patterns. There's also patterns in behavior. So if you begin to look at that, all of a sudden begin to realize, even he got to the point in time, he says, I can't not pay attention to patterns, and patterns specifically of behavior. And it was funny because all of a sudden he began to look at what his interests were and got clear and what he wanted to do with his life. And I say that because we could look at this situation very negatively and say he just likes playing video games. But if we look at it a little bit deeper and from a different side of the coin, all of a sudden we can see something that's like the games that he's playing, what he's really interested in is studying behavior. So again, just a fun story that I just had to share in this context.
Yeah, great example. Yeah, absolutely great example. And we wouldn't know that, and of course you and I both are coaches, we wouldn't know that unless we sort of go deeper. And we don't necessarily throw out sort of what, you know, or sort of fall into that negative thinking trap where we're going, oh, this is, you know, bad, he shouldn't be on the playing games, blah, blah, blah. But if we ask, so what is it about that attracts him, that oftentimes is sort of that access point to that positive quality. Because I'm truly convinced that all of these traits with ADHD have that flip side. They may not be apparent, but there is that flip side to it. It doesn't mean we don't want to shore up some of the challenges, but we miss at least half of the person, if not more, because when we're not looking at the opposite side of that particular challenge.
And one of the things that I like to, in my practice, is I like to look at characteristics. This is like a characteristic of the person. Whether it's a good characteristic or a bad characteristic really depends on the environment that you put yourself in. So you have a choice of the environment that you put yourself in. And the idea is, you know, it's amazing to me to watch Robin Williams. I go back and I watch the YouTubes of him when he just gets down in the audience and he's running around, or when he did Good Morning Vietnam, because I understood he read the script and ad-libbed most of that. You look at that mind like nobody could keep up unless it was going 100 miles an hour. That's a perfect environment if you're doing stand-up and improv. You put it in the wrong environment, a cocktail party, and all of a sudden you're stepping on toes. It doesn't mean that it's a good or bad thing. It all depends on the environment in which it manifests in.
Yeah.
So a person could be distracted in a classroom, and that would be a bad environment, but that curiosity in another environment, maybe research field that they're doing, it's the same trait. It's just manifesting in a different way, in a more positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great story. You know, back the video piece, I always like to remind people, my youngest son is actually in the military, and it's sort of interesting that for him, he was more into video games. My older son really wasn't that much, but he actually now, part of his job, is sitting and looking at a monitor in a very small room on a sub. So I sort of joke, you know, don't ever sort of underestimate what they're attracted to. It really does go, you know, it is, there's such beautiful windows into what we do really, really well. Just like you were talking about that one individual, and it's not always what appears to the naked eye that, okay, somebody's playing video games and this is somebody that has a really big, really talent about behaviors, human behaviors, because we think, well, they're really not interacting, but yet they're, if we spend the time and talk with them and really get to know the person, that there's that whole interest in behaviors is like, wow, who knew, honestly, that's what's going on underneath there. Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the things I'd like to highlight is one of the keys, and I really wanted to do the show, but recently I was reading a book on, and I don't read many books, on Japanese psychology, and it was funny because they talked about how we focus on the negative. And the gist of what I was reading was you focus on what's going wrong because you have to deal with it now. Think about it. You focus on what's going wrong because you have to deal with it now. You don't have to focus on the right thing, what's going right now. That can be put off. And so as just human nature is there's stuff that goes wrong all over the place. So what happens is we begin to focus on what's going wrong, and it begins to crowd out all the stuff that you never pay attention to, right? So it kind of conditions you because of the issues to focus on. And the Japanese psychology was like, well, in order to counteract this, you have to recognize it, and you actually have to practice, like shooting free throws in basketball, practice gratitude. You have to practice paying attention to what kind of goes right. And I thought this was just such a great show to do, because I think the community and the world at hand really needs to go out and practice every day looking and noticing what those with ADHD do right and the qualities that they have, because we're conditioned to deal with maybe how it's manifesting in a negative way right now, and it blocks that stuff out. And you've given such a great oracle here on how it manifests in the other way, and really it's a matter of focusing on and practicing.
Yeah, that's well put, Jeff, where what we focus on, of course, grows.
Yep.
And especially in the case with people with ADHD, it takes so much energy to focus. For anybody, it takes so much energy to keep fixing what isn't working for us. And again, not necessarily ignoring the fact that in some situations, some of these traits of ADHD are not necessarily, for that right environment. However, when you are focusing on the strengths, and you know this, I know, I'm preaching to the choir here, we're focusing on the strengths, looking at something, okay, what's the positive quality of this? It's so much more, like life-giving, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Lori, we need to wrap this up. Any final comments? Any words of wisdom? Anything you want to share?
I don't know. Challenge. I think the question I would have is challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to think about when you're maybe stuck in a negative thought or frustrated with a particular trait that you have with your ADHD. Challenge yourself to go, how does this in other situations? How is this actually an asset for me? Because I almost can guarantee that it is.
I like to say that. I'm a little bit different. Is notice the trait and imagine what environment it would manifest in a more positive way.
Got it. Great.
All right, everybody. Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody, go check out her website at coachingforadhd.com. And Lori, tell us something. It starts July the 13th, correct?
July the 13th through the 17th. Yep. Succeed with ADHDTelesummit.com.
All right. Thank you, Lori, and everybody. Thanks for joining us. Catch us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.